You know, before you started with something I want to share about, which is vitally important, and especially where we're at right now, what's going on in the world. And the new wine, there is a new wine. And in the new wine, there is power. You know, so many people that are so-called believers and so forth, and they've been believers for many years, but they're not willing to cooperate to get the new wine. See, there is no drive-through. So many people want drive-through. If you remember in the Word of God, when the people saw the miracle signs and wonders happening, and there were some people that said, man, I want somebody of power. How do I buy it? Let me tell you how you purchase it. Cooperation. The main word is deny yourself, pick up the cross, and follow. And in that, you cannot get new wine until you're cooperating completely. It's not a weekend thing. It's a life. It's a total life change. And what do you need the new wine for? More power. Why? Because God wants to manifest his kingdom in us and through us. And it doesn't mean just about casting out devils and laying hands on the sick. It's about overcoming temptation. Because if you can't overcome temptation, then there ain't no power. And there's no program. There's no church. There isn't anything that you can go to get it without denying yourself. See, so many people want drive-through. And you're not going to get drive-through. The kingdom, Jesus didn't drive through. He died through. Amen? And he died that you and I could have it. And it's a promise to everyone that cooperates. But it's something that you must maintain. Maintain. Hear that? Maintain. Discipline is a major factor. Because discipline has no emotional feeling. Discipline, the only thing about discipline is to fulfill God's will. Discipline. Discipline. You must be disciplined to maintain the routine. There is a routine that God has given us in denying self, picking up the cross, and following. And cooperating. Many people have fallen astray. The falling away has happened. And it's continuous and increasing more and more and more. But during the falling away, there's something else that's going on. God is beginning to separate. There is a process of separation right now. Yeah, man. And it's called the breakaway. Everyone say breakaway. Thank you, Jesus. Psalm 23 in verse 1. The Lord is my shepherd. Hello. That means if he's your shepherd, then you're his sheep. I shall not what? Want. I shall not what? It's amazing how many people go to the Lord every day and just ask for what they want. There's no acknowledgement of who he is, of how much they love him, how grateful. The devil keeps people away from God's presence. Because that's where something can happen. Penetration can happen. Conviction can happen. Repentance comes. Even deliverance and healing. The more you're filled, the better off you are. But you can't maintain it without what? Denying yourself. The Lord is my shepherd. If he's my shepherd, I know that he's going to provide everything I need. There isn't anything that I will not need. I'll fall in a place where there is no want. Because I have everything. And if you have him, you have everything. If you're still looking for everything else and false fulfillments, then you ain't got them. Then you're looking for the world's fulfillment. If he's not your fulfillment and you're number one, there's a problem. You're lost, living outside of salvation's truth. L-O-S-T. He's the Lord. He's my shepherd. And we don't lack. We don't need to want. We don't lack. What is it? Verse 2. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. What, to get a drink, man. He restores my soul. He leads me in the path of what? Righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. That's correction. So many people get offended when they get corrected. You prepare a table for me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil, and my cup runs over. How does that oil come? Through worship, through praise, not through sitting on your hands, folding of your arms, or putting your hands in your pocket. That is not surrender. That is rebellion. Surrender is this. Amen. Until people can do this, they're out of divine order. They're not cooperating. The Bible says, gather together and lift your hands to heaven. See, they're still fighting for their lives. Many people still look like cactuses in the desert. Some of them look like signals on the streets. Hallelujah. How does that anointing come? Worship. You touch his heart, he touches yours. Glory to God. Verse 6. Now look at, after all of this stuff, what's going to happen? Surely goodness and mercy will what? Follow me. If mercy and goodness ain't following you, it's because you're out of divine order. All the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Praise God. In other words, you'll dwell in his presence. This is all if he is your shepherd, if he's your Lord. There's no lacks. You know he provides all of your needs according to his riches and glory. John chapter 10, verse 7. You see it happening globally. There's a breaking away, a separation from good and evil, from righteousness and unrighteousness, from deception and truth, from lies. In verse 7, is everybody there? John 10? Anybody there? Let's speak at verse 7. Then Jesus said to them again, most assuredly I say to you, I am the door of the sheep. And all whoever came before me are thieves and robbers. But the sheep did not hear them. Does everybody hear that? The sheep didn't hear them. They closed their ears to the voices of the stranger and deception. False wants and false realities. I am the door. If anyone enters by me, he will be what? And will go in and out and find pasture. That doesn't say find pastor. Pasture, a place of lay down of worship, place of some humbleness and humility, a place where you can get fed. The thief does not come except to what? Steal, to kill, and to destroy. I have come that they may have life and that they may have it what? Abundantly. Well, then there's a reason why somebody's not living abundant life, because they're out of order. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd gives his life for the sheep. But a hireling, he will not, he who is not the shepherd, one who does not own a sheep, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees, and the wolf catches the sheep and what? Scatters them. The hireling flees because he is a hireling and does not care about the sheep. In other words, what's the only thing he cares about? Money. Money. That's why he's a hireling. I am the good shepherd, and I know my sheep, and am known by my own. As the Father knows me, even so I know the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, we're not going to get into that, them also I must bring, and they will hear my voice, and there will be one flock and one shepherd. Oh, snap. Jesus came to give us life and life abundantly. Because why? The Lord is our shepherd and we're not going to lack. We're not going to lack. You know, you're going to either learn or you're going to burn. Bottom line, you're either going to get it or you're not. And we all have that choice. God doesn't interfere with our power to choose. So you can cry all day long. Even some of the people have cried all day long. It says that cried seeking repentance. But he didn't repent, because repentance means turn away. Turn away from the stuff that's offensive to God. You can say, oh, Lord, I'm sorry, and go out and do it again. And repent. And hopefully it'll be your last time that you have to repent for that, because you've turned away from it before you die. Hello. It got quiet here. Romans 8:26. Likewise, the Spirit also helps in our what? Weaknesses. For we do not know what we should pray as we ought. But the Spirit makes himself, the Spirit what? Makes intercession for us with groanings which cannot be uttered or understood. That means you're praying in tongues, but you don't understand what the heck you're praying. That's good. Because the enemy knows exactly what you think. So if he can read your mind when you pray in tongues, he can't read that. Amen. I think people have a hard time understanding that. Praying in tongues says that you directly speak to God. Nobody else. Unless he gives somebody an interpretation. Of course, there's the gift of interpretation. But that's only when we're gathered together or something while in your private time. While you're praying in tongues, the Lord might give you the interpretation of something that you're praying in tongues. It is a gift of the Spirit. It's not our gift. It's the gift of the Spirit to assist us like tools. You wouldn't go work on an automobile with a basketball, right? You need tools. So you wouldn't go do construction, you know, with a vacuum cleaner. I mean, you might after you make a mess. But you ain't going to build nothing with it. You may clean up the mess you did. But again, tools of the Spirit, these are gifts of the Spirit to fight, to assist us in the battle. And so many people do not understand it and neglect it. They pray in their common language more than they do in the Spirit. And again, we pray in common language to help us, your carnal mind. We pray in the Spirit to move the hand of God. Is everybody okay? Hallelujah. Now, verse 27. Now, he who searches the hearts knows what the mind of the Spirit is, because he makes intercession for who? The saints. Who's the saints? Us. According to the will of God. So you're praying the perfect will of God when you pray in tongues. That's why the enemy doesn't want people to get baptized in the Holy Spirit or pray in tongues. Because it's a weapon he can't defend against. And we know that all things work together for what? Good. To those who love God and to those who are called according to his what? Purpose. For whom he foreknew, he also predestined to be conformed to the image of his Son, that he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Moreover, whom he predestined, these he also called. Whom he called, these he also justified. Whom he justified, these he also glorified. Wow. All things work to the good to those who love him and obey him, who cooperate with his perfect will. So many people quote this, but they're out of divine order. It ain't going to happen. When you quote the word of God, you better be in divine order. Or becomes a letter, not the Spirit. Because it must be backed by the Spirit of God. Not by the flesh, not by the tears, not by desire, not by emotion, but by the Spirit. Amen? And Matthew 15. That's why the word tells us, forsake not to assemble. Why? Because we get encouraged. We get fed. We worship. Corporate worship is wonderful. But you can't just rely on going to church. It must be an everyday life. Amen? We are warriors, not wimps. We're not crybabies. Matthew 15, verse 1. Then the scribes and Pharisees who were from Jerusalem came to Jesus, saying, "Why do your disciples transgress your traditions of the elders? For they do not wash their hands when they eat bread." And he answered and said to him, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God? Because of your what? Tradition." See, there's a breakaway from tradition these days. A lot of people are still stuck in religiosity. There's a breakaway. "For God commanded, saying, honor your father and your mother, and he who curses father and mother, let him be put to death." That's pretty wild. "But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift of God, gift to God. Then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by what? Your traditions." Hypocrites. "Well did Isaiah prophesy about you, saying, these people draw near to me with their mouth and honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. For in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." Wow. "When he had called the multitude to him, he said to them, hear and understand. Not what goes into the mouth defiles a man, but what comes out of the mouth, this defiles a man. Then his disciples came and said to him, do you know, Lord, that the Pharisees were offended when they heard this saying? And he answered and said to them, every plant which my Father planted has not planted will be what? Uprooted. So there's a lot of planted roots out there that's from the enemy and not from God. And those things that have been planted by the enemy will be uprooted. That's breaking away. "Let them alone. They are blind leaders of the blind. And if the blind leads the blind, both will fall into the what? They're going to fall into the ditch." Whoa. The breakaway. That's the process of breaking away. 2 Corinthians chapter 2, start at verse 5. "But if anyone has caused grief, he has not grieved me, but all of you to some extent. Not to be too severe. This punishment which was inflicted by the majority is sufficient for such a man. So that on the contrary, you ought rather to forgive and comfort him, lest perhaps such a one be swallowed up by too much sorrow. Therefore, I urge you to reaffirm your love to him. For to this end, I also wrote that I might put you to the what? To the test. Whether you are obedient in all things." Whoa. "Now whom you forgive anything, I forgive also. For if indeed I have forgiven anything, I have forgiven that one of your sakes in the presence of Christ, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not ignorant of his what? Devices." We cannot be ignorant of his devices. He eats you up, man. Hallelujah. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 15, in verse 33. "Do not be what?" Say it again. "Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts what? Good habits." Evil. That's the break. What are you supposed to break away from? People that are not in line with Christ. But they're good friends. They're not good friends. You don't have friends. I don't have friends. I have brothers and sisters. Amen? The friendship's gone. We're breaking away from all that. Our friends are brothers and sisters in Christ. Amen? Who walk according to the will of God. That's the breaking away from bad company. Why? Because they corrupt good habits. 1 Corinthians 6, verse 7. Now, therefore, it is already an utter failure for you that you go to law against one another. Why do you not rather accept wrong? Why do you not rather let yourselves be cheated? Now you yourselves do wrong and cheat. You do these things to your brethren. Do you not know that the unrighteous will not inherit the kingdom of God? Do not be deceived. Neither fornicators, nor idolaters, nor adulterers, nor homosexuals, nor sodomites, nor thieves, nor covetous, nor drunkards, nor revelries, nor extortioners will inherit the kingdom of God. Now, you know, there are things that God's allowed medication for. Amen? For people that need help. And there's nothing wrong with that. But it's when things get abused. Also, when they started handing out those marijuana cards or whatever to go get the pot, it's amazing how many people went and got it that I know that are believers. And ain't nothing wrong with them. Or they make an excuse just to go get high. See, when you get high, you lose God's voice. Does everybody understand it? You get high, you lose God's voice. When you lose God's voice, you lose God's presence. Why? Because you've exchanged it, the false God. Amen? You exchanged the true God for the false God. You've exchanged your fulfillment of the true God for the fulfillment of the world. And people cry, oh, I haven't heard God's voice. Well, why don't you throw that stupid dope out? Why don't you stop drinking? Why don't you stop watching pornography? Why don't you know what I'm saying? There's that exchanging for fulfillment. That's not God. They're exchanging God for fulfillment of the world. And they wonder why they have problems. And there is no drive-through. Verse 11. And such were some of you, but you were washed, but you were sanctified, but you were justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. So what the heck happened? This is the breaking away. Amen? It's breaking it away. Romans chapter 9, verse 14. You know, we go do jobs and we go into homes and so forth. And I can't tell many how many believers we've gone in and they complain about so much stuff. Yet they're not in fellowship anywhere. Well, I read my Bible occasionally. Yeah. There's no sowing in the Spirit. Because sowing in the Spirit reaps life. Sowing in the flesh reaps corruption. And so many people exchange the savings account of life for corruption. Now they got to empty that savings account of corruption. And that's a process, isn't it? Hallelujah. Romans 9:14. Is everybody there? What shall we say then? If there is unrighteousness with God, certainly not. For he says to Moses, I will have mercy on whomever I will have mercy, and I will have compassion on whomever I will have compassion. So then it is not of him who wills, nor him who runs, but of God who shows mercy. For the scripture says to the Pharaoh, for this very purpose I have raised you up, that I may show my power in you, and that my name may be declared in all the earth. Therefore, he has mercy on whom he wills, and whom he wills, he hardens. You will say to me then, why he still find fault? For who has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, you are to reply, against God and say what? Will a thing formed say to him for who formed it, why have you made me like this? Many people blame God for their stuff. Why did you make me like this? No, he broke you away from it. He made you brand new, but you chose to not let go. Is everybody okay? You will say to him then, why does he still find fault, for he has resisted his will? But indeed, O man, who are you to reply against God? Will a thing formed say to him who formed it, why have you made me like this? Does not the potter have power over the clay, from the same lump to make one vessel for honor and another one for what? Dishonor. For if God, wanting to show his wrath, to make his power known, endured with much long-suffering the vessels of wrath prepared for destruction, and that he might make known the riches of his glory on the vessels of mercy, which he had prepared beforehand for glory, even us whom he called, not of the Jews only, but also the Gentiles. And he says also in Hosea, I will call them my people, who were not my people, and her beloved, who are not beloved. And it shall come to pass in the place where it was said to them, you are not my people, there they shall be called sons of the living God. So it doesn't matter. Once you've accepted Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior, there's a process of deliverance and healing. There's a process of reconciliation. There's that process. It's not a drive-through. It's a process. You must be willing to do and cooperate with the process. Why? New wine. New life. Blessings, prosperity, multiplication and fruitfulness. Empowered to overcome every temptation. Amen? Matthew 25 and verse 31. When the Son of Man comes in his glory and all the holy angels with him, then he will sit on the throne of his glory. All nations will be gathered before him, and he will separate them from one from another, as a shepherd divides his sheep from the goats. What's a goat? Rebellious. A sheep is submissive. And he will set the sheep on his right, but the goats on his what? There's no coincidence it's on his left. Why? Because the lefters are goats. Then the king will say to those on his right, come you blessed of my father, inherit the kingdom prepared for you from the foundation of the world. For I was hungry, you gave me food. I was thirsty, you gave me drink. I was a stranger, you took me in. I was naked and you clothed me. I was sick and you visited me. I was in prison and you came to me. Then the righteous will answer, saying, Lord, when do we do these? And you were hungry and fed you, and thirsty and you drank, and when do we see you a stranger and take you in, or naked and clothe you? Or when do we see you sick or in prison and come to you? And the king will answer and say to them, assuredly I say to you, inasmuch as you did it to one of the least of these my brethren, you did it to me. Then he will answer and say to those on the left, boy, the left are in trouble, aren't they? Depart from me, you cursed, into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels. For I was hungry and you gave me no food. I was thirsty and you gave me no drink. I was a stranger and you did not take me in. Naked and you did not clothe me. Sick and in prison, you did not come and visit me. Then they will also answer and say to him, Lord, when did we see you hungry and thirsty or stranger or naked, sick or in prison and not minister to you? And he will answer them saying, surely I say to you, inasmuch as you did not do it to one of the least of these, you did not do it to me. And these will go away into everlasting punishment, but the righteous into eternal life. That's the breaking away. The goat from the sheep. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 16. Therefore, from now on, we regard no one according to the what? The flesh. That's the breaking away. Even though we have known Christ according to the flesh, yet now we know him thus no longer. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a what? New creation. Old things have passed away. That's breaking away. Behold, all things have become new. That's the breakaway. Now, all things are of God, who has reconciled us to himself through Jesus Christ, and has given us a ministry of reconciliation. That is, God was in Christ reconciling the world to himself, not imputing their trespasses to them, and has committed to us the work of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ. As though God were pleading through us, we implore you on Christ's behalf, be reconciled to God. For he made him who knew no sin to be sin for us, that we might become the righteousness of God in him. Break away. That's the breaking away. Philippians chapter 3, verse 7. But what things were gained to me, these I have counted loss for Christ. Yet, indeed, I also count all things lost for the excellence of the knowledge of Christ Jesus, my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things and count them as what? Rubbish, that I may gain Christ and be found in him, not having my own righteousness, which is from the law, but that which is through faith in Christ, the righteousness which is from God by faith, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being conformed to his death, if by any means I may attain to the resurrection from the dead. Breaking away. Not that I have already attained or I am already perfected, but what I do, what I press on, that I may lay hold, that for which Christ has laid hold of me. Verse 13. Brethren, I do not count myself to apprehend it all, but one thing I do, forgetting those things which are what? Behind. Woo-hoo. And reaching forward to those things which are ahead. I press toward the goal for the prize of the upward call of God in which Christ Jesus. Therefore, let us as many as are mature have this mind. And if anything you think otherwise, God will reveal even this to you. Nevertheless, to the degree that we have already attained, let us walk by the same rule and let us be of the same mind. Breaking away. And I'm going to close at Isaiah 43, 18. Do not remember the former things, nor consider the things of old. Behold, I will do a new thing. Now it shall come forth. It will spring forth. Shall you not know it? I will even make a road in the wilderness and rivers in the desert. The beasts of the field will honor me, the jackals and ostriches, because I give waters in the wilderness and rivers in the desert to give drink to my people, my chosen. That's a pouring out of the Spirit. This people I have formed for myself, they shall declare my praise. So you have been formed by God to be at this time, in this dimension, manifested, born of the Spirit, taken out of the world and into his glorious liberty. To be a sign and wonder, to express his love, to carry the presence of God. Again, if the kingdom of God is not first in your life, then there's a problem. There must be a desire to do the kingdom business. Amen? It doesn't mean you don't, we got to go to work and make money and so to maintain here, unfortunately. But I think that's going to stop soon. Those that are truly in line are going to get their socks blessed off. You're going to get brand new pairs. They're going to be anointed socks. And wherever you step, it's going to be holy ground. Amen. So, Father, we give you glory, honor, and praise. And we thank you for your word. Seal it with the Holy Spirit. And let us gain more revelation, more cooperation, more healing, and more of you. In Jesus' name. Everybody said amen.